There are some weeks where the lectionary passages seem to have been plucked right out of my journal. How long, Lord? How long must I call for help, but you don't listen? How long must I cry out to you, violence, but you don't save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? And as the message puts it, anarchy and violence break out, quarrels and fights all over the place. Law and order fall to pieces. Justice is a joke. The wicked have the righteous hamstrung and stand justice on its head. Yep. Why, Lord? How long? Do you not see? Do you not care? Where are you? It is bad enough that so many of our leaders are cruel and petty men. But Lord, your people, they're right there with them. So what hope do we have? How can I hold on to faith in these evil days? I've never said this next part in a sermon before, but the prophet Habakkuk shows us the way. This little often neglected book, it has some profound wisdom and encouragement to offer us this morning. Wisdom from someone who kept the faith in his own very evil days. So this morning I'll start with an overview of Habakkuk, and then I will draw out three faithful practices of those who keep the faith in evil days. So first, the big picture of Habakkuk. Last week, Dana touched on the book of Amos. Amos was a prophet who prophesied against the northern kingdom of Israel and pointed out their idolatry and injustice. And as a reminder, that's what prophets primarily do. It's less about telling the future, more about naming when the people of God are out of whack with God's covenant and calling them back to faithfulness. Habakkuk is doing something similar. He writes a bit later than Amos, somewhere around 600 AD. The northern kingdom Amos was writing to has fallen. The southern kingdom hasn't yet. We don't know much about who Habakkuk is, but his message is also focused on faithfulness to the covenant, but with a twist, because his words are directed not to the people of Israel, but to God. Lord, you've made promises to your people. You made a covenant. It looks like you're not keeping those promises. It looks like you're not living up to what you said. So what's up with that? In chapters 1 and 2 of Habakkuk, and there's only three chapters, chapters 1 and 2, there's two prophetic complaints and two divine responses. And we get a little bit of a mishmash of all of that in what's printed in our bulletin today. But Habakkuk's first complaint is in the first four verses we have printed. Lord, will you not judge evil and defend the poor and oppressed? You say you're a righteous God, but the wicked are getting away with it, so why aren't you stopping them? I feel that in my bones. The feeling that the evil around us is so big, there is nothing any one individual can do to stop it, like a runaway train heading straight toward the cliff. But God's big enough to stop it. So why isn't he? The Lord's response to Habakkuk's first complaint is not printed in our bulletin. The lectionary leaves it out. But the Lord does not ignore Habakkuk. He doesn't just go silent. He doesn't scold him for complaining. He answers Habakkuk's complaint. I do see the evil. I will judge it. And in fact, I'm going to do something you would never have imagined in a million years. I'm raising up the Babylonians to come and judge my people for their sin. I will not tolerate evil forever. The judgment is coming. God does not ignore evil. He does judge. But Habakkuk immediately sees a problem with this answer from the Lord. Maybe you do too. His second complaint. Wait a second, Lord. The Babylonians are even worse than your people. So how can you, a holy God, turn to them as a solution? Habakkuk 2:1 in our bulletin is the last part of this complaint, where Habakkuk says, I am going to station myself like a watchman on the walls. I will wait for God to respond to me on this one. Again, I'm with Habakkuk here, because judgment is a very blunt instrument. Lord, it is like a tidal wave that seems to sweep away the wicked and the helpless all at once. So what's up with that? Maybe that's a definition of lament. What's up with that? And again, God responds, and we have the first part of it in front of us, but the meat of it comes after what's printed in our bulletin. And God's response is, I'm going to judge them too. They won't get away with it either. This cycle of violence will not last forever, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's Habakkuk 2:14. God says, yeah, I will judge them. Chapter 3 moves into a song in response to God's answers. It's a song of praise, but maybe not like the ones we're used to singing in church. It evokes the Exodus, a picture of how God rescued Israel from Pharaoh and how the God who did that will do that again and rescue them from Babylon, defeat evil, bring justice, rescue the oppressed and innocent. Habakkuk gives praise not because God will spare his people from the judgment that's coming, but because God will not let judgment be the last word spoken over God's people. Judgment will not be the last word spoken over God's people. The Bible Project summarizes this song this way. Habakkuk recognizes just how dark and chaotic the world in our lives can become. And he also sees how this invites us into the journey of faith, trusting that God loves this world more than we can imagine. I forget that so many times. God loves this world more than we can imagine. He will one day deal with its evil. And so Habakkuk becomes a picture for us of the righteous person who lives by faithfulness, who keeps the faith, even in truly evil days. So with that big sweeping picture in mind, what does Habakkuk show us about how to keep the faith in our own truly evil days? I'd like to present to us, transitions are hard, three faithful practices for the people of God. So first, people who keep the faith turn towards God. We've mentioned, or maybe you've already realized, that Habakkuk is a book of lament, of complaint, of what's up with that. A significant portion of the Old Testament is lament. Some 50 to 70% of the psalm material is lament of some kind, and a good portion of the prophets. There's a whole book called Lamentations. In fact, it was an alternate reading in the lectionary for today. The alternate psalm that got paired with Lamentations is Psalm 137. We almost read that today. The one that says, blessed are those who kill the kids of the Babylonians. We spent some time working through that one in Koret 9 the past year, because that is a tricky one. So on first glance, this kind of complaint towards God that Habakkuk does, it seems to contradict Psalm 37 with its wisdom on not working ourselves up so much about evil. Now, I'm grateful that we have both in Scripture. Wisdom lies in knowing which one to use at any given time. Habakkuk is telling the truth about the state of things, how bad they really are. Evil, injustice, idolatry, despair, like so many of the prophets. Commentator Jared Alcantara writes, when faced with a choice between denying their tears and despairing in their tears, the prophets choose neither. Instead, they pray their tears. Habakkuk turns his questions and his honest emotional response towards God. He prays his tears. And that posture is an act of faith. That posture keeps the faith. Even Psalm 137 that I alluded to, with all of its visceral, no, Lord, it too is an act of faith. Because it takes all of the honest rage of Israel having been destroyed by Babylon, being in exile, all of that emotional experience, the awfulness of it, the natural human desire for vengeance against enemies, it takes all of that and it gives it back to God, trusting that God can handle that and sort through it. trusting that God will indeed judge wickedness at the right time, and knowing that only God is wise enough to know when it's time to judge and when it's, we're still waiting, when it's mercy time. Psalm 37, again, is this posture of turning towards God. Look at all the language of Lord in that psalm. Put your trust in the Lord. Take delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Be still before the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Where we turn our attention shapes our perspective. Psalm 37 is a good reminder to me that if I focus on the wicked men, I'm going to see wickedness. I'm going to despair. When I turn my focus to the Lord, I can remember a bigger truth: God's goodness, God's love, God's mercy, God's care. And that helps me trust that God will deal with all this stuff. And so, people of God, keep the faith and lament. All that stuff, your questions, your anger, your tears, your confusion, turn it towards God. Don't deny your tears. Don't despair in them either. Pray them. Because God hears you and me, loves us more than we can imagine, and he will prove himself mighty to save. People who keep the faith turn towards God, especially in evil days. Second, people who keep the faith take the long view. That's really what faith is. It's assurance of things unseen. Something's been promised, but it's not here yet. So God's response to both of Habakkuk's complaint is, judgment will come. It will. It's not here today. One of them's further off than the other, punishment of Babylon. It did come. Habakkuk may not have lived to see that day, but it did come. So the Lord's word to Habakkuk is, the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. In other words, the end of this evil will come. It's not here yet, but no word from God will ever fail. Psalm 37 takes the long view as well. It says, don't fret over evildoers. Why? Not because they're not evil, because they'll wither as fast as grass that gets no rain. We've not had a lot of rain in recent weeks. The plants in my backyard, I could just pull them right out of the ground. I don't weed that much, so I don't. But the same thing is true with the wicked. They sure look strong right now. They will shrivel and be plucked up like a weed from my unwatered backyard. In Habakkuk, that long view primarily means Babylon will be judged for its destruction of God's people, and a remnant of Israel, God's anointed, will be saved. We know God did that. God was faithful to those promises in the long run. In the even longer run, we know that God fulfilled Habakkuk's words. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one, your Messiah, in the person of God the Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what Paul reminds us of in 2 Timothy. This grace that has now been revealed through the appearing of Jesus Christ, who destroyed death, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. God was faithful to his promises to send the Messiah to save us and the world. And a promise yet remains for the people of God. A promise yet remains for the people of God. That one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That someday, as Habakkuk saw only dimly, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The Lord will preserve a remnant of his people through every evil thing, every evil day. One day, every evildoer will be cut off, but the meek, those who trust the Lord and wait patiently for him, rather than taking matters into their own hands, the meek will inherit the earth. A promise yet remains for the people of God. We who have nothing to cling to apart from our trust in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. We, like Habakkuk, still wait. We groan for that future day of glory. God's kingdom is here, but not yet. It will come. It will not delay. Though it linger, wait for it. Be Be still before the Lord and wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. People who keep the faith take the long view, especially in evil days. And third, people who keep the faith tend faithfulness. Tend faithfulness. I'm going to say a word about the translation of Psalm 37:3. In our translation, the second part of the verse is, dwell in the land and feed on its riches. Well, if you have a Bible like the ESV or the NIV out, you might be like, where did feed on its riches come from? I think the translation of the ESV is a little better here. Befriend faithfulness. Feed on faithfulness. There's that word of pasture, feeding on. And then that same word, faithfulness, that we have in Habakkuk. Make your pasture in faithfulness. It's parallel to doing good. It's another way of saying live steadfastly and faithfully. Keep steadfast in the good things you know to do. Tend faithfulness. I think that's what Jesus is telling his disciples in the gospel passage too. Jesus has just finished instructing his disciples about some really hard things related to wealth and treatment of the poor. In the verses right before ours about forgiveness, about if your brother and sister sins against you, like as many times in a day as it happens, you still got to forgive them. So no wonder they cry out, Lord, increase our faith. I'm crying that out. Lord, help me believe. Increase my faith. But Jesus says, you don't need more faith. Exercise the faith you already have. Exercise it by doing the day-in, day-out work of faithfulness. You don't need more faith. You don't need to do extraordinary, flashy deeds. What you've given is enough. Exercise the faith you have through faithful service in my name. I had a chance this week to participate in an interview with a man named Mark Lopez, who's an animator and a filmmaker. He has a full-length film, Join or Die, on Netflix right now. It's not a Christian film. It's about the importance of clubs and community organizations for democracy. He also has a short film called Segregated by Design that tells the story of racialized housing inequality in our country. And you can find that just by searching the web. But there was one detail he shared in our interview that stuck with me, is that each day that he worked on that short film, which ended up being maybe 17 minutes long, each day he worked on it, he worked on 5 seconds at a time. Every day. That sounds like torture to me. I like to get things done, check it off the list. 5 seconds at a time in a film that ended up being 17 minutes long. And I just think that is what it means to be faithful, to tend faithfulness, focusing on the equivalent of 5 seconds at a time. And really, in the scheme of eternity, that's kind of all we offer, 5 seconds at a time. But it's the accumulation of all those 5 seconds of yours, of mine, of ours together, that God weaves together to tell the story he is telling of how in Christ God has redeemed the world. Only Christ was fully faithful to his 5 seconds and the rest. We need a lot of help and forgiveness in the Spirit. And yet, in these evil days, I think we're called to tend faithfulness 5 seconds at a time. And the little 5 seconds we're given. So perhaps instead of this prayer, Lord, increase our faith, perhaps we pray, Lord, help us tend faithfulness with the little tiny bit we have before us in the abundance of your mercy. You are the faithful one, and we cling to you. Those who keep the faith tend faithfulness, trusting that God's weaving together the full film, even in evil days. Habakkuk's name, the name Habakkuk, is a bit obscure. But one possibility is that it comes from a Hebrew root that can mean two things. Somebody who challenges or wrestles with God, and somebody who clings to or embraces God. Yes. That. Those those who keep the faith cling to God, even when that means wrestling with him. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline. And so, people of God, I charge you, in the power of that Spirit, let us not despair, nor grow cynical or callous or self-righteous. I'm charging myself this too, by the way. Let us turn towards God, for when we are weak, he is strong. Let us take the long view, for God's promise still stands. And let us tend faithfulness 5 seconds at a time. Lord, help us be faithful to keep the faith in our own evil days by the power of the Holy Spirit of love. Amen.